Second reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. Matthew 6, 1 to 15. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. This is the word of God. It's really good to see you all. A lot more of you. And there may be people who are not here today, but it's good to see so many more and to have fellowship and to be able to worship together. It's a great blessing. Last time, we looked at the first half of this verse. Forgive us our debts. Now we come to the second part. We remember, of course, the first part, that is, we ask God to forgive us our debts because we have debts to be forgiven. And we remember that. And these debts that we have, we can't pay them ourselves, we know that. We might like to think, we know that it's not a balance beam. You know, so many good things, so many bad things. Oh, I've done a few more good things, that just weighs it the right way. It doesn't work that way. And we know that because the Lord Jesus wants 100%. Our Father wants 100%. There you go. All good. And you can't work more than 100%. You can't say, well, I've got 99% on Saturday, I'll do 101% on Monday. Our maths is good enough to know that doesn't work. And so we need God to forgive us, and that's why the Lord Jesus came, in order that we might be forgiven. And this is a matter of our relationship with him. You know that in a family, we know that in a family that things need to be straightened out sometimes, and to keep our relationship going well. And so also with our Father in heaven, it's not that he doesn't love us when we belong to the Lord Jesus, but we need to clear things with him too and say, Father, forgive me for what I've done against you. And he does freely forgive us because of the Lord Jesus. And that's the ongoing benefit of remembering the gospel. It's magnificent because there's nobody here. You know, if I say, I know we don't put our hands up, but you know, if I said, put up your hand, well, you wouldn't do it anyway. Put your hand up if you haven't sinned this week. Well, nobody would put their hand up. Well, I hope no one would put their hand up, you know, because that's how we are. Right? We know we do things that are wrong. And it's not all desperate then. It's not that it doesn't matter. But God forgives us when we ask him to. And that's why we pray the first part of this prayer. And he does it willingly, unbegrudgingly, fully, freely. That's great. Because we belong to the Lord Jesus. But now we've come to the second part. And here it is. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. As we also have forgiven our debtors. And this teaches us that forgiving others, for disciples of the Lord Jesus, those who are trusting the Lord Jesus, we who are trusting the Lord Jesus, it's essential that we forgive others. That's just how we are as God's people. It's a top priority. Now, this is wider than forgiving others in church, but I'm focusing on those in church. It's a great place to start. Practical. And I want us to concentrate on forgiving others in church. I mean, just think of the people around you today. Now, I haven't got any secret information, you know, someone's not talking to somebody else and all that sort of thing, right? But I'm just saying, I know how it happens in congregations. We know tensions arise, don't we know that? This is just so extremely practical. This is an aside. I really think that this is one where you need a whiteboard and get people together, get your friend, get a whiteboard and start writing down and talking about it together. Because there are so many applications that we need to think through that you can't do in a sermon. But really, it's something that we need to do because it's so important. So that's just a suggestion if you get a chance to do that. But forgiving others is a top priority for disciples of the Lord Jesus. We should be characterised by our willingness and our practicality of forgiving other people the way the Lord wants us to, and particularly those in church, in your congregation, in the wider Christian community. Now, we know this because it tells us in other places. I just read a couple of places. In Ephesians chapter 4, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Now you might say, what sort of a congregation is this, you know? It's just a normal congregation, it's the Ephesians. And Paul's talking to Christians. He says that they'd been redeemed by the blood of Christ. He says that they'd been given the Holy Spirit. And he says to them, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamour, slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Right, there's work to be done. And so it shouldn't surprise us in our congregations too that this can happen. That we get irritable with one another. We deal with one another wrongly. It matters, but it happens. And the Lord is talking to us about that. In Colossians, he says to the Colossians as well, put on then as God's chosen, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another. Bearing with one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. You know, how practical is that? You know, bearing with one another. You know there are people who irritate you. Are there people who, I'm not saying in this congregation, but you know there are people who irritate you. You know that happens, right? That's reality, right? And he says, bear with one another. You're Christians, right? We'll rub each other up the wrong way. We've got rough edges. Okay, so. And so really, to being more serious, I mean, that's serious enough, but to be serious, look, it's clear, isn't it, that if you want to damage the church, this is the way to do it. The way to do it is to be bitter, angry, malicious, and don't forgive each other. That's the way to kill a church. That happens. It happens. And the Lord doesn't want us, and he tells us not to be like that. This is why he's given us the Holy Spirit. Don't do that. You have to watch our tongues, our attitudes, how we react when we feel wronged or hurt, and learn to forgive. I say learn because we'll make mistakes. And say, Lord, I didn't forgive then as I should have. Teach me. And the Lord teaches us if we ask him to as well. So forgiving each other is a top priority. So forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Did I hear that right? Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Father, I want you to forgive me just like I've forgiven people who wrong me. That's pretty big, isn't it, when you think about it? But that's what it says. Forgive me the way I've forgiven other people. Forgive me their debts, their trespasses against me. Now, forgive me my debts, my trespass against you, as I've forgiven them their trespasses against me. You see, I heard of a man in church. I mean, this is not made up. This is someone shared this with me. Where it was a regular practice to pray the Lord's Prayer in their services. When it came to the fifth petition, which is this one, part two, he remained silent. Because he knew what it said. He didn't want to do that. He knew what it meant, and perhaps he just didn't want to be as forgiving as the Lord wanted him to be. And he didn't want to bring that on himself. Now, I'm not saying that's a good practice, but you can see he's taking that seriously. He's taking that seriously. And it's it's obvious that forgiving one another is a top priority. And this passage is challenging. So the Lord Jesus wants us, he died to save us so that we would learn to be like this. Tender-hearted, loving, long-suffering, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven us. And he will teach us as we follow him. Well, of course, if you want to boil down the principle, it's be like your father. Be like your father. Now, and this is why you need the whiteboard, because the topic raises a lot of questions. I mean, it does raise a lot of questions, doesn't it? Like, forgive people no matter what they've done to you, whether they're sorry or not, whether they ask you to or not. I mean, they're genuine questions, you know, that come up. That's why we need to talk about it together and think it through. But the thing is, we can get caught up in the questions and not get the principle. The principle is we should be characterised by being like our Father and being forgiving people, willing to forgive, and then doing it as we have opportunity. You see, like our Father, you know the parable of the prodigal son, right? Okay. What's the attitude of the Father? He's waiting for the prodigal to come back, waiting. He's not sitting there saying, oh, here he comes. Oh, boy. Oh, well, I suppose I better forgive him, you know? He's waiting. And who does the Father represent? Our Father in heaven, correct? Yes. See, that's now good. You know, we take that thank you, you know? That's fantastic. But then he says, okay, you're born again, right? Family likeness. Be forgiving. Learn to forgive. Be a forgiving person, just like that. Be like your Father. And the Lord, in Ezekiel, a fantastic, a favourite verse. This is what the Lord says. As I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? See what God's saying? I have no pleasure in the death of those who die. Turn back, repent. He's willing to forgive. And so should we. First, what's forgiveness? Forgiveness wipes the debt. If we forgive, we don't make the other person still pay what we've forgiven them for. I mean, that sounds fairly obvious. That's how God deals with us. He forgives us. Gone. What is it? Who is a God like you who pardons sin and cast them into the depths of the sea? There's some song that talks about a sea without shore or depth or bottom, right? That's God cast our sin, as John was praying, east to west. You know, God takes our sin away from us. That's magnificent. God wipes the debt, and that's what we do too. So for us, forgiveness wipes the debt of the one who's hurt us. We've been the object of offensive words or attitudes or actions by someone else. What is it to forgive them? We don't make them pay. We don't make them pay. The debt's gone. So don't make them pay. How do we make them pay? Brothers and sisters, you know how we can make them pay. Cold shoulder, ignoring, right? Just being a little bit snarky. You know? We know how it goes. We know how it goes. Bearing a grudge. And then even in our hearts, because you see in that passage that Alan read, it says, forgive from the heart. How's our heart? See, that's, look, the so really all of our life, it's our heart that matters, isn't it? It's our heart. Well, I mean, we can put the facade on, right? But it's our heart. And so it's not secretly wanting their hurt. Right? Not being happy when things go well with them. Right? There's something wrong there, yes? No, forgiveness wipes it, gone. Just like God forgives us. And so I have here in my notes, so should we. And then I've got, no, should's not good enough. You know, we say should, which means, well, I should. I might get round to it. You're like, oh, I should go on a diet, you know. Doesn't mean you're going on a diet, you know. Right? It's different when you say, I must go on a diet, right? There's pressure on. See? And that's what God's saying here, the Lord's saying here. I must do this. I must do this. I must learn to do this. Yes. I must do it. Forgiveness wipes the dead. Gets rid of it. Not replaying the tapes in our mind over and over, hanging onto it, waiting for the opportunity to zap the other person. So the offence is gone. We don't bring it up. And I have my notes here. This is challenging. This is challenging. Is this challenging? Look, it might be challenging for you. You might be very forgiving people. I'm happy if you're very forgiving people. I'm just saying I find it challenging, right? Because I'm less than perfect. You're less than perfect too. And this can be an area. Just someone pokes you. You want to poke them back. That's our natural reaction. It's the Lord wants us to be different. Yes. No, sorry. That's forgiving. We know what it looks. We know what it's not. It's wiping the dead. But then, it's also pardon me. It's also keeping on forgiving. Keeping on forgiving. This I said it was challenging. Right? See, Peter comes up and says to the Lord, Lord, how often will I my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times. Now maybe Peter's big noting himself here and saying, you know, seven. That's pretty good. And I believe I read somewhere that in Judaism, three times was enough to show your fair dinkum. But we know Jesus' reply, don't we? He said, I don't say to you seven times. I say to you 77 times. I mean, you can say seven times 70 and maybe that's 390, but 77 times is the way it's translated now. Well, but what's it mean? It's not saying, aha, I've done the 77, 78, I've got them, right? I mean, you know it's not that. What it's saying is, just keep doing it, right? Right, seven is the perfect number, right? And so 77 is the perfect number, right? So, yes. Keep on forgiving. The same irritating Christian brother or sister. Now, whiteboard, okay. What if they keep doing the wrong thing? Keep wronging us. Drives you mad. Is it okay for my brother and sister to keep on acting like this? No. But then we should try to care about them and say, okay, how can I help this person? You know, do they need a smack? You know, or do they need a quiet talk? Or just how do I do this? You know, we pray for wisdom because we care about the other person. You see, my attitude would tend to be, oh, I can't cope with this. Look, I'm just not going to have anything to do with them anymore. Right? Now, you wouldn't say that, right? But that can be how it is. No. We've got to keep forgiving and think about this. Galatians 6 verse 1 kicks in here, right? Brothers, if anyone's caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Now, if it's that sort of thing that needs to be dealt with, then we've got to think about how can we help our brother or our sister who's just so irritating and keeps doing this thing that annoys me and annoys other people. Annoys. No, it's worse than that. I mean, it really is not good. Now, how can I help? That's the point. We need to pray about this and think about it and care for them and try to help them with the weakness and forgive them. And forgive them, just as our Father keeps forgiving us. It's not easy, but Paul says in Romans, if you by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now, is putting something to death easy? No. It's not easy to put to death the deeds of the body. Right. Now, we don't have to put to death the deeds of the body in order to earn points with God. But that's the character, that's our job. My job is to see these things and say, okay, Lord, help me here. People sin against us. What sort of responses can we give? Must we give? First of all, there's the overlook response. Because there are some things, if you sit back in the cool of the day, even though you've been irritated, right, and sit back, have a break and think, really, it's not all that big deal, right? It's not really just let it go. You know? Let it go, right? The overlook possibility. Now, this is where we need to pray for wisdom, right? I'm not saying everything to be overlooked, not at all. But sometimes you say, come on, get a grip on yourself. That's just an overlook one. Because Proverbs 19:11, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offence. That's wisdom. Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offences. New Testament. Above all, keep on loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. See, there's a time, notice, out of love, we've got to learn to love our brothers and sisters, even the irritating ones, right? To love, and then often that may be just an overlook thing. Right? You've got to pray for wisdom, but there it is. There's a time to overlook offences in love. And you say, well, when do I let it go? Look, there's no list. Right? That's why the Holy Spirit's given to us and the Scripture to give us principles. And then that's why we pray, Lord, help, give me wisdom here to know how to deal with this brother, with this sister, in a way that's loving. And maybe I'll overlook, maybe I've got to push it a little bit further. Right? But there is a time for overlook. Certainly, it's not avoid the other person all the time, or let it go sort of, but hang on to it because it can be a weapon that you can use later on. Now look, I don't think I'm the only one who can be tempted to hang on to it to use it as a weapon later on. Now you may never have had that in your life, but I'm just saying that can happen. Right? And that's, we wouldn't admit it, but that can happen. And Lord, that's not good. There's a time to overlook. And to care for the person, seek them to change, but let it go sometimes. So that's overlook. But then there's the more active forgive. Right? When we're wronged by fellow Christians, our brothers and sisters, that's not good. It can affect our relationship. It really can affect that relationship with that person. And it's not pleasing to God. Right? And it's not an overlook offence. Right? And the Lord, what's he want us to do? He says, when someone asks for forgiveness, be ready to forgive. Now, I think this is something we have to learn to ask for forgiveness. I don't know in your circles, but not often do people, maybe they don't offend me and do things against me, which is okay. But I haven't seen in my circles, you know, people saying, oh, look, please forgive me. But you see, we should. And see, if we do it, if we learn to ask for forgiveness when we've wronged somebody, others will say, oh, that's okay. Yeah, I should do that too. Yeah? Asking forgiveness. I'm not saying it's easy, because you've got to humble yourself. You've got to make yourself vulnerable. You see, you don't say, look, please forgive me, but if you hadn't done blah, 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 you know, and you zap them, right? I mean, isn't that? That's what we try to do, right? We try to say, no, it's going clean, right? Whatever they did to us, if we've done wrong, we've done wrong, right? Even if they've treated us abominably, but we've done wrong, we've done wrong. Now, we've got a job to do if they've treated us abominably, right? But when we're saying, I've done wrong, we've got to say, I have done wrong. Please forgive me for whatever it is. So, but then if they ask us, which would be great, don't make it hard for them. Don't rub their nose in it. Right. So, yeah, I forgive you. That's fine. Okay. How many times? Right. We know, don't we? How many times? A lot. Right. It should be our practice. Yes, I forgive you. I forgive you. Yeah, we want them to change. We help them, right. But remember what Peter says. Seven times? Jesus says 77 a day. That's a day, really. Remember how much you've been forgiven. Okay, so that's one. But what if people don't ask for forgiveness? Right? Then what do we do? Right? So we say it's not an overlook offence. No, that's right. They haven't asked for forgiveness. They've wronged me. What's the deal? Right? Okay. And maybe this is the more usual situation. Maybe not. But Someone sins against, puts a strain on the relationship. See, the point is that in the body, right, we're a team. Right? A team doesn't work well when we're not getting on with each other. Right? So that's the deal, see. We're a body. Here's the key word, the key phrase. Take the initiative. Somehow. Right? But take the initiative. Again, the whiteboard, think, how do we do this? But take the initiative, see, when someone sins against us. We've already looked at Matthew 5, 23 and 24. When you're offering your gift at the altar and there, remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Then the other, right? You see, the other person's got the problem with you. Maybe you've sinned against them. But the problem is there's this tension. See? So what's it say? Jesus, take the initiative. Right, leave your gift at the altar, go back to Galilee, it'll take you a few days, but that's okay. This is more important than giving a gift at the altar. And he says, and fix it up with your brother. Right? Maybe you've done wrong. Right? If you've done wrong, say, hey, look, have I upset you? You know, I mean, if I've done something wrong, please tell me because I want to get rid of it. Right? And they tell you, and then you deal with it. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm just saying it's what Jesus says. Right? So that's taking the initiative. Right? That is... You might have offended them. Right? That's why the tension is. So we're looking for forgiveness this time for us. Maybe in the discussion it comes out they've done something against you and you work on that as well. So take the initiative. If you're not sure, they're upset, there's something to be done. But then there's the other one in Matthew 18. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. Now, we read beyond that, but that's just before what we were reading. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. Can we see? We see what the aim is? You've gained your brother. That's the aim. The aim is to say, get this back on an even keel. Get this back, get the team working again. Right? So, you've gained your brother. I'm not saying sin's done, I'm just saying this is the direction that we're going in, right? If your brother sins against you, it's not an overlooked fault, you know, it's something, no, this is messing things up. Go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Keep it small, you know. See, isn't the Bible fantastic, you know, that Jesus says, between you and him alone. Doesn't say, go and tell everybody else and then eventually get round to him, you know. Say, no. You don't want to spread a bad name around, right? Go and talk to him. Right? Keep it small. Right? Fix it. Now, you know there's more in Matthew 18 than this section, but it doesn't contradict the point I've made. It says, what if he doesn't take notice of you? And then you can, we should ramp it up a bit to try and get things fixed. But Luke also, if your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. So that's another take the initiative. I know you've got questions. I hope you've got questions thinking, you know, how does this work in reality? How would I do this? Right, and that's why I said about the whiteboard, or talk to it about it together. It's hard work to do. Yes. The bottom line is, don't break off the relationship. Deal with it. Okay. Last point. You know, back there we said it's not a I should, but it's an I must. Huh? And that's why, because of these last verses, this is the only petition in the Lord's Prayer that has an explanation. Right? In verses 14 and 15. It's 14 and 15? Yes. Right? So it must be important. Right? So, what are the consequences? Key idea, forgiving others is a top priority for the Christian life, which we've just said. Right? Consequences. Positive. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. If we're disciples of the Lord Jesus who forgive others, our Father will forgive us. Forgiving others doesn't earn his forgiveness. He forgives us because of what the Lord Jesus has done, but he does this in our relationship with him because of the Lord Jesus and because we are sorry and are we're acting as disciples like his children should. And so our Father forgives us. I'll read it again. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. That's pretty big. But you see, there's also verse 15. What if we don't forgive others? Verse 15 says that our Father in heaven will not forgive us. If you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Claiming to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus and yet not forgiving others has serious consequences. And this can work at two levels. But even if we didn't get further, you'd read this and you'd say, this is serious. I mean, this is serious for a disciple of the Lord Jesus. This is serious for me. The way I'm relating to other people, to people sitting here and others. Okay, the Lord will not, your Father will not forgive you, right? Two ways of thinking about this. First, think of our ongoing relationship with God. Lack of God's forgiveness for us, if we don't forgive, can be in our ongoing relationship with Him. See, holding on to our sin puts a strain on our relationship with our Father. You know that God is not a grumpy deity looking from the sky, trying to trip us up wherever He can. But God can be displeased with the way we behave, as our Father, just like we can be displeased with our children. Now, it's not that this is not a matter of casting us out of the kingdom at this point. But you see the point, that He can put this strain in our relationship with Him when we don't forgive others. Because it says, if you don't forgive others, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. So it's right up there in God's eyes. Puts a strain on our relationship with God if we aren't forgiving. Then He will not forgive us, even when we ask Him to. Yes, just let it soak in, brothers and sisters. Now, day-to-day relationship with God. Something we shouldn't play around with. It's not good. So let's forgive those who sin against us. But you ask, what about our eternal relationship with God? Can there be significant consequences if I don't forgive? And that's why Alan read this parable in Matthew 18 about the king and the servants. Oh, dearie me. Matthew 18 points to, I understand it as, no eternal forgiveness for those who are not forgiving their fellow servants who ask them to forgive them. What does the king say to the unmerciful servant? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. Now, it's clear that the debt that the king forgave the first servant for was unpayable. Couldn't, at some amazing sum, he could never do it. Even if he tried to work it off for the rest of his life or 10 lives, he never would have got there. Right? It's an amazing forgiveness. Now, what about our forgiveness because of what Jesus has done? Is that amazing? Of course it is. We could never, never work that off. Right? But it's forgiveness, full and free. Okay. We couldn't pay off the debt. Jesus applies the parable to the unmerciful servant, and then the unmerciful servant who couldn't pay off the debt but didn't forgive his fellow servant is handed over to the jailers until he should pay off the debt. But he can't. You know he can't. Okay. That's the point. And then Jesus says to us, profess to be his disciples. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. If we don't forgive, if I don't forgive my brothers and sisters, when they ask me to forgive them really from the heart, then there's no, I believe, no forgiveness for me eternally. And you say, how can this be? What's going on here? The professing Christian who does not forgive his fellow Christians when they ask is showing signs of not being a genuine Christian at all. See, that's the thing. It's not of earning salvation. It's what do we look like? Lack of forgiving is a sign is a sign that our hearts have not changed. This is sobering. What's the answer? The answer simply is this: repent of this sin where we need to. If you find in your heart and your life that you've not forgiven someone who's asked you to forgive them, desires you to forgive them, then that's sin, serious sin. And we've got a choice. Hang on to it, but that's a deadly choice. We'll go to our Father and say, this is what I've done. This is in my heart. I've got a horrible heart. I want to hang on to this. Forgive me and make me clean for Jesus' sake. That's where it starts. And help me to go and forgive this brother or sister of mine. And God will forgive you and teach you for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven those who we have forgiven our debtors, and help us, we pray, for Jesus' sake, to grow in love and forgiveness for those around us. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen.